Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. It's me, Dr. Kristen Lierley, and oh my gosh, you are going to love this episode today. I'm really looking forward to it because I've been talking with the folks over at Catholics for Choice for a while. Yes, Catholics for Choice. It's real. And we're going to learn all about who they are, what they do, and we're going to talk about crisis pregnancy centers today. And you are not going to believe, I've got Kate Hoding with me today. Kate is an abortion doula, and she is part of the core of Catholics for Choice. Kate, I'm so excited about our conversation today. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, of course. When we were talking about just, you know, getting ready for this episode, we couldn't stop talking because there was so much to talk about.
That is true.
Yes. You know, and for me, I mean, let's just jump right in. I grew up in a Catholic environment. I've done nearly all of the sacraments. So I understand how layered these questions of faith and reproductive care can feel. And they're so personal for each of us. So with that said, you're a Catholic, you're also an abortion doula, and you're an advocate. Those are identities that might surprise people who assume that they cannot coexist in the same person. Yet here you are. So tell me, how did your faith shape your path to this work rather than pull you away from it, which is what most people might expect?
I mean, actually, what is so interesting about my journey toward the church is that what attracted me toward Catholicism was actually a lot to do with abortion, because I went to divinity school, and at divinity school, I met all of these people who were incredibly radical, queer Catholics who were just doing such incredible work that I now understand is the core of Catholic social justice and Catholic social teaching, but at the time was surprising to me. And so although my family is Irish Catholic Minnesotans, on my mom's side, like, I have actually come toward the church as an adult. And so that is part of what is so interesting, is that, like, as I was going into abortion clinics and holding people's hands as a doula, I started to really feel like that was my calling. And like my ministry was to kind of be with these people who were making such important pregnancy decisions. And so, yeah, that is actually what drew me into this role and this really life's purpose.
It's rooted in justice for you, not in the rules, but in the justice piece of it.
But it also feels like something that's just utterly outside of my control, frankly. Like, I recognize that there is, you know, a lot of tension. Even as you were saying, I've done nearly all the sacraments. It's like, well, there is one, notably, the priesthood, that you cannot actually, you're not able to access. And so, although I feel that tension, there's just a part of me that just is drawn to keep going to Mass every week and be in these Catholic communities. That's just like beyond what I can really control. And I know that that is what a lot of people who are abortion seekers and who are abortion providers, that's what a lot of them feel as well. Like they know that like their religious identity is something that is with them through their entire abortion experience, from before they make this decision, during their procedure, their medication that they're taking, or however they're accessing their abortion, and after as well. Their religious identities come with them.
Yes. And you mentioned holding someone's hand at an abortion clinic while they were going through this. This is a concept that I think many people do not understand. Yeah. Being an abortion doula, what does that actually look like in practice? And was there a specific point in your work that really crystallized the meaning of this for you?
For sure. So I started off as a doula when I was in college, and I kind of fell in line with a group of birth doulas, which is a concept that many people are familiar with. Mm-hmm. And these birth doulas had done a lot of work that involved pregnancy loss. And they were interested in expanding their work into including abortion doula work as well. So an abortion doula depends on the doula, what they are doing. But for me, it means that I go into a clinic and I hold someone's hand during the in-clinic procedure, and I just am there for them in whatever they need. If they need a Kleenex, I get a Kleenex. If they need to hear a joke, I tell a joke. If they just need to talk about, you know, like Netflix or what they want to eat, if they want to talk about their kids, a lot of people will spend their procedure talking about their kids and showing me pictures of their kids. That's just what I do. And so just like how a birth doula just is there as a patient advocate, that is what I do as an abortion doula as well. And there is definitely a moment where I think all of this really crystallized. Very frequently, patients would bring their faith into the clinic. And so it's very common to have patients ask for us to pray before we start the procedure. And so, you know, it's very beautiful. Like the lights are dimmed low and I'm kind of bowing my head and the provider's bowing their head and the nurse is bowing their head. And then like the patient will lead us in prayer. So it's moments like those that made me start to see the work of providing abortion care as really sacred work. And then additionally, I had one particular patient who said that she felt like God had sent me to be her doula on that day because of my own connection with religion. And so I think that was a huge moment for me in realizing that kind of contrast that you see between the people out on the sidewalk who are yelling at really vulnerable people as they're entering the clinic in the name of religion, and they are holding their rosaries and they're waving their signs, and that contrast with the care that the clinic employees and the providers had for patients I felt it so strongly when I first became a doula, and that is what has led me to really see this work as something that is holy and is part of caring for my neighbor.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think of Jesus. I mean, even if you don't know a lot about Jesus, he took care of vulnerable people. He was there during the worst of times. And that is so similar to the work that you do as an abortion doula and within Catholics for Choice as well.
Yeah, it is. And we look at what's in the Bible. I would love for any anti-abortion person to point out a passage that says that abortion is wrong in the Bible. They can't do it because it's not there. And I know because I went to divinity school. So I read the Bible in Greek. Like, it does not say anything against abortion. And in fact, like, the only passage that one could say addresses abortion at all, Exodus 21:22, like, suggests that a fetus does not have the same weight as a human person. And so when you look at that, you look at the words of Jesus that we have, and never once does Jesus talk about abortion in the gospel. But what Jesus does talk about is loving your neighbor, caring for the most marginalized, being with women who are shamed by society, much like how the people who have abortions today experience so much shame in society. And I believe that what Jesus would do is walk with them, not be on the sidewalk yelling at them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But the public perception, when you think about Catholics for Choice, the reaction is often that that's an oxymoron. Catholics are not for choice. How do you respond to that? And what do most people misunderstand about the diversity of Catholic thought when it comes to abortion?
Great question. If Catholics for Choice is an oxymoron, then the majority of Catholics are a living oxymoron. If you look at the polling, if you look at like every single reputable poll, whether it's AP NORC or Gallup or the Public Religion Research Institute or Pew, literally all of them show that the majority of Catholics support reproductive freedom. PRRI finds that 63% of Catholics support abortion in all or most cases. 68% of Catholics in the US did not want to see Roe versus Wade overturned. So whenever somebody approaches with this surprise, it is like, it's interesting because many, many Catholics actually are on the side of reproductive justice and reproductive freedom. It's just something that's really difficult to talk about because it is so stigmatized. Mm-hmm. And so people don't necessarily feel like they can speak out. And that's why it's just like so important to talk to your Catholic family, talk to Catholic loved ones, talk to people in your community or your parish, if you are a Catholic who is pro-choice, about why you are.
If you have that opportunity, which is can be really challenging to seek out, just because the environment seems so unwilling to hear it. But I hear you saying that most Catholics, I think you said 63% of Catholics support abortion in all or most cases.
I mean, that is an unbelievable number. And then when you look at the percentage that think abortion should be illegal in all cases, which again, that is the official teaching of the church. Like this is what the bishops say. It's 8% of Catholics.
8%.
That is basically nothing. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at a situation again where like a very well-funded, very extremist minority of Catholics is having disproportionate control over the discourse to the extent that people are shocked to hear that Catholics for Choice even exists. I even at one point, I think it was soon after Dobbs, I was at the Supreme Court at a protest and I was holding up a sign with the Catholics for Choice logo on it. And a woman who was in her 70s came up to me and was crying because she had just read the sign, that the sign existed. And so that's not the only time that I've had that reaction when I say where I work. People are moved because the existence of our organization really names something that people have thought for a long time, or that they wish they had when they had their own abortion experience, even if it was decades ago. Yeah.
And they didn't realize that they were in good company, overwhelmingly supportive company. I can say that, you know, living in Northeast Wisconsin in a very Catholic community, when I first heard about Catholics for Choice, I couldn't believe it because it was just so antithetical to what I had always believed, even as a woman in her 50s. So yes, I can 100% relate to that. And it leads me to wondering, is Catholics for Choice trying to change the church from within by helping people understand that this is actually who Catholics are? Or are you making a separate argument that Catholic tradition, when properly understood, actually leaves room for this position? Because that feels like two pretty different approaches to solving this problem.
It's a great question, and the way you've set it up really reminds me, like many days I will go into the clinic and at 10 a.m. I will talk to a Catholic who's having an abortion, and she'll say, I am the only person in my parish who would do this. I don't know anybody else. I can't tell anybody else about this. And then it's like 2 hours later, I'll see another Catholic who's literally going through the same thing. And it's like, I can't tell anyone else in my parish. And so like that fear is something that's really real. And I think there's such a power to that isolation of making people feel like there's no one out there for them. So I think beyond this within the church or outside of the church paradigm, that's our main goal, is to tell that person on that gynecological bed, like, you are not alone, and to connect those two people and make sure that they know that the other one exists. Because, mean, the Guttmacher analysis of the CDC data shows that 1 in 4 abortion patients is Catholic. That's literally 1 in 4. So when you're thinking about, who's going into the clinic, 1 in every 4. When you're thinking about, in the waiting room, it's 1 in every 4. And then when I think about sitting in the pews and looking around, just thinking about how many of those people are sitting through an anti-abortion homily, or who are sitting or standing during the prayers of the people and are hearing, like, we're praying for the sanctity of life. How many of those people have had abortions or know loved ones who've had abortions? That is the work of Catholics for Choices, to bring that storytelling to the fore so that people know, like, this is not just what the majority opinion is, but it's also the lived experience of people in the church.
It's your neighbor. It's the person
It's
who's
your
sitting next to
neighbor.
you in the pew.
Yes,
Yeah.
100%. Like, when you're saying, oh, peace on Sunday, you're looking at them in the eyes. Like, imagine what they believe, even if they can't necessarily say it. And so I think giving people the platform to be able to have the opportunity to share their stories in ways big and ways small is really important, even though I know that it's extremely hard and dangerous and scary. It's really essential because you can change people's lives.
And knowing that you're not alone is a
Yeah.
huge component of that. I want to pivot to something that is a topic that we have discussed at length, and we're focusing on that this May. It's crisis pregnancy centers. It's these places where if you call the 1-800 pregnant line, you will end up often in these clinics that aren't actually clinics. So let's talk a little bit about crisis pregnancy centers. Tell us what they are and who they are pretending to be.
Yes, crisis pregnancy centers are the on-the-ground anti-abortion propaganda machines of the religious right. Full stop. You may have heard of them as being called fake clinics, or sometimes unregulated pregnancy centers. We'll probably refer to them as CPCs often throughout this podcast. So essentially what you need to know is they will engage in oftentimes deceptive tactics to get people through their doors by saying that they provide abortions, by suggesting that they provide abortions when they are not. They are not medical centers. They can even have people who are wearing a white lab coat who are not actually medical providers at all. They might offer, quote unquote, free ultrasounds or free pregnancy tests or free STI testing to try to target vulnerable communities, get them through their doors, and then convince them not to have an abortion at all costs. Like, that is always their end goal, is to stop somebody from accessing healthcare, even when that means telling them false information, even when that means, mimicking the name and even the color of the building of the clinic next door. They will literally do whatever it takes, and they are oftentimes funded by or have an explicitly religious mission, which is part of why Catholics for Choice is so focused on doing what we need to do, which is to call them out and educate people about their existence and their prevalence.
Hey, as a physician, I very much worry about these places because, as you said, they look like medical clinics on the outside. They present themselves as if they are doctors and nurses, and they are untrained, they're unlicensed, and they don't have to protect your privacy. And I think it's incredibly important that people know this because there's not a sign outside that says, we're not a real medical clinic. You think you're getting real medical care when you go to these places, but you are not. And that is the important distinction.
And why wouldn't you think that
Right.
you were getting complete non-medical care, or even just like they don't have to comply with HIPAA? And there have been tons of investigations into the data security issues with these places, and
Yes.
examples of large CPC conglomerates sort of fibbing about what level of security they have. And so pregnant people are going to these places, giving them their data, and who knows what they are doing with that data, which is particularly terrifying because there's so much criminalization of pregnancy, of abortion care, and even of just pregnancy loss. And so this is, I think, a major issue that people need to be aware of.
We are, and I want to highlight the criminalization piece because we are seeing people who are being put in jail because of their pregnancies. So that is, it doesn't seem like it's happening, but it is absolutely happening. Let's talk about some of the good things that these crisis pregnancy centers do, because they will push back and say, but wait a minute, we offer diapers and formula and counseling. And they do, they pull people who are vulnerable, who have needs in with some of these free things. What is your response to those people who say, well, even if they discourage abortion, like, what is the harm in offering these services?
Anti-abortion crisis pregnancy centers just violate the core tenets of social justice and Catholic social teaching because they bear false witness and they deceive people when they're in this vulnerable position. And frequently what they'll do is they will exploit gaps in the community that could, where care could be provided to new parents to help them access diapers. And what they will provide is a Band-Aid. They will provide maybe diapers, but it's not nearly enough. And anybody who's a parent knows that it's going to take more than some diapers.
There are never enough diapers, actually.
Exactly. To actually support people, they need more than a free pregnancy test. And so my strong response to that is that CPCs are not providing needed assistance because free is not free if it comes at the price of a person's dignity, of their agency, of their access to knowledge. And so when they say, we provide these free classes, like, let's unpack what you have to actually give up in order to access something that is allegedly free. I'll also add that CPCs love to kind of engage in predatory behavior by presenting themselves as these local, independent, mom and pop grassroots places, but like they're actually most of the time part of a large network, whether it's like Heartbeat International or CareNet. And so we're talking about a clinic, these fake clinics that are funded and supported through these huge, huge networks. And so they're not nearly as local as they frequently portray themselves to be.
And they are funded and supported by these huge networks, but they are also funded and supported by taxpayer dollars. There's a lot of our money going into these clinics because people don't seem to understand that they're not actually clinics and they're not really providing pregnancy-related care. So what is that combination of the faith-based piece and the taxpayer piece mean in real terms for regular vulnerable people who are just seeking medical care?
I mean, it means that the state of Wisconsin, Wisconsin is one of the 16 states that provides funding to CPCs. Minnesota, where I am, is also another one. They will raise money for CPCs through like the Choose Life license plates, if you've ever seen those. That's an example of state funding that is going towards these frequently religious institutions of crisis pregnancy centers. And so this is a huge example of a violation of the separation of church and state, because you are literally taking money and giving it towards this like multinational conglomerate organization that has the express and stated mission of like helping people to live out Jesus's plan for them by choosing life. And you're taking state money, you're taking taxpayer money and giving it to those clinics. And so, I mean, even if you live in a state that doesn't directly fund CPCs, your taxpayer dollars still might be flowing into them because federal funding flows towards CPCs. And with the new Title X regulations, that number is only likely to increase. I mean, the latest updated guidelines for 2027 made it clear that they plan to focus on funding anti-abortion crisis pregnancy centers. And my question for them really is, so how many years has it been since Roe v. Wade fell? They've had all this time to invest in things that would actually support families. And instead, what have they done? They have cut public funding for social services at every possible opportunity. And so this is another place where not only you see the separation of church and state, I was going to say being eroded, but is there anything left to erode is really right. The question. But also you see where their true motivations lie.
Yeah, and it's not injustice. It's not in taking care of people. I mean, Trump's latest budget cut WIC, which is the food program that gives formula to babies and makes sure that moms can get healthy food. Their actions really betray or belie, what's the word I'm looking for? Tell what their motivations
Expose.
Are. Expose, yeah. Thank you. Which leads me to my second to last question. What would meaningful accountability look like legislatively, institutionally, culturally? And where do you see those realistic openings for change so that we can provide real care and support for people who are potentially facing pregnancies that they may or may not want to continue, but need to be able to make their own decisions about?
I mean, my number one call when it relates to anti-abortion crisis pregnancy centers is that if you're going to do what you're going to do, be honest about what you are doing and why you are doing it. And I don't think that is a lot to ask for. I really don't. And I think their sort of reticence to be upfront about their stated mission. If you go to the website of your local crisis pregnancy center, which that is something I highly recommend that people do. If you look up the fake clinic database or go to exposefakeclinics.com, you can actually find where your nearest crisis pregnancy center is. Certainly, it will be closer than you think. And take a look at their website and imagine yourself in the shoes of somebody who is scared, who's just found out that they're pregnant, trying to find a clinic. Maybe they're not even sure what the laws are in their state, and they are trying to navigate, is this an abortion clinic? Is this not? It's really hard to tell. And so I don't think that transparency is too much to ask for at all. And so what we need to do as advocates and just people who care about healthcare access, period, is to call out these fake clinics wherever we see them and to educate people about the signs and sort of what to look for. Like, is it near an abortion clinic? Is it not clear if it provides abortion? Sometimes I think that kind of like Christian girl autumn aesthetic on the website is another red flag. This kind of like, oh, there's a baby and a son and all of this kind of imagery claiming to provide free ultrasounds, discussion of quote unquote post-abortion healing or quote unquote abortion pill reversal, which is literally fake. It is not possible. Real doctor here telling you right now that that is not a real thing. Or just claiming to offer these free diapers, this kind of like pregnant and scared, we have options. Those kinds of phrases are what you want to look for. And so teach people how to recognize them and how to call them out wherever and whenever you see them.
Pregnant and scared, you have options. That just makes me think of exactly the kind of person who ends up in this situation, not understanding what they're entering. And I think something that's really important, if you or someone you love is facing something like this, when you go to the clinic, a really easy way to differentiate whether they are a medical clinic or not is just to say, do you provide or refer for abortion services? And if they won't say yes, or if they try to distract you, then you're probably not in the right place. It's real easy to just to turn around and walk back out again.
Yeah. And they may even try to prevent you from walking out, saying there's some kind of medical reason that you should not leave, but you should walk out. If they cannot say we provide abortion care, that's not going to be a safe place for you.
No. It's really scary. I don't know if you, if I, I don't think I told you the story about how I took care of a patient at an abortion clinic who had come from a CPC with her partner, and they had a picture, an ultrasound picture of what they were told was their pregnancy, and they were told it was very early in the pregnancy. And when we looked at it together, it was very clearly not her uterus. It was her bladder that the picture, what anybody who knows how to read an ultrasound would have known that. But they were so ashamed, and they needed real care. She was further along than she thought. It was a whole different conversation. And just in being able to unpack that with them, I learned so much as a doctor, but just being able to provide that compassionate care and help them get what they needed meant so much to me. If we could reach everybody who is seeking this kind of care and make sure that they could get plugged into the resources that they need, whether it's abortion care or medical care, continuing their pregnancy. Almost half of the pregnancies in this country are supported by Medicaid, funding Medicaid, making sure we have obstetrical units in rural areas and urban areas, especially as they're closing down because of what's happening with the current administration and the budget. There's no lack of stuff that we can do here, Kate. Catholics for Choice is fulfilling such an important space for people who don't think that there is a space there. And I'm so grateful to you and your team for doing this work.
I'm grateful to you, grateful to you that you were able to say this is an ultrasound of your bladder. In fact, like that story is just so disturbing. I mean, it's almost like you almost could. I can't even, it sounds fake. Like it sounds like satire, right? Like it sounds like something that would be in The Onion. And I think that's part of what is so disturbing about it is that the story shows that these people really do not know what they are doing at all. And they are masquerading as medical providers. And this is like really putting people's lives at risk. And so, yeah, this is why we at Catholics for Choice are just trying to prevent that and point that out, expose that as the lie that it is.
How can people learn more about the work that you are doing at Catholics for Choice?
Absolutely. You can go to catholicsforchoice.org/CPC, where we are going to have a kind of interactive resource where you can learn more about the history of anti-abortion crisis pregnancy centers. We also are going to be running some pieces on our Substack, the Overreach Monitor, which focuses on religious overreach into politics. So you can stay up to date on those articles by signing up for our email list or following us on social media. But yeah, number one place is catholicsforchoice.org/CPC.
And it is possible to be a person of faith and still receive full scope reproductive health care and to have these conversations with other people because there are more people who are aligned with what you believe in and what you need than those who aren't.
Right? It's not only possible, it's the majority.
It's the majority. Kate, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been such an incredible conversation. Let's keep this going. I think we have more
Yeah.
conversations to have in the future.
That sounds wonderful to me. Thank you
All
so
right.
much.
Well, friends, thank you for joining us. If you liked our conversation, please share it, like it, subscribe, hit that little bell so you know when a new conversation comes out, and we'll keep it going. Thank you.